This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. We're going to begin in Ukraine, where the tensions between pro-Russian militants and the Ukrainians who want to remain independent can be summed up in this encounter between a woman and a Ukrainian tank commander today. They're speaking about the influence of Russia.
My name is Putin.
What she's saying is they are using both you and us. They are making us clash. Ukrainian armored units are attempting to recapture territory in the Donetsk region from pro-Russian separatists. There's been fighting at a military airfield, which the Ukrainian government reportedly reclaimed from the separatists. NATO has announced that it's going to be reinforcing its presence in the region in case Russia decides to intervene.
Russia should stop being part of the problem and start being part of the solution.
That's NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen there talking to reporters yesterday, just days ahead of the Geneva talks between Russia, Ukraine, the U.S., and the EU. Joining me now is Public Radio Ukraine correspondent Andriy Kulikov. Welcome, Andriy.
Hello.
Tell us the situation and what people are being told in Ukraine about what's going on in the east of the country.
The situation here is relatively calm, except for some concern among people. However, just 100 miles away to the east, there is a conflagration and flaring up of protests, and a special operation by Ukrainian armed forces is reported to be in full swing. And in general, in Ukraine, I would say most of people are very, very worried about the possibility of the repeat of the so-called Crimean scenario in the east of the country, and then probably in the south.
How close would you say, Andriy, the region is to a kind of civil war, which is what the Russians are talking about in Moscow?
I would not say that the region is anywhere close to civil war, because the number of people involved in disturbances is relatively small. We're talking about 2,000 or 3,000 people at the most in the biggest populated centers, like in Donetsk or Luhansk, where the population is nearing 1 million. But the passions are so high that we cannot exclude possibility of human loss on both sides. And of course, the introduction of Ukrainian armed forces into those regions in earnest brings the possibility of combat actions much closer. However, the feeling here is both, I mean, in Kyiv and in Zaporizhia, where I am now, and this is much closer to the disturbance region, is that this is not a civil war, but foreign intervention, which seems to provoke quite a reaction from some Ukrainians.
Ukrainian government officials have described the militants as terrorists. Do you think, as a correspondent, that that is accurate? Is it possible that they are simply dissatisfied with the government?
I would say the description of them as terrorists is accurate in some cases, especially, in specific cases when they seize people as hostages, when they beat journalists or some pro-Ukrainian activists. On the most, I would say that most of the people involved in the operation on the rebel side are not terrorists, although they may follow terrorists who had them.
Andriy Kulikov, NATO suggests that Russia should stop being part of the problem and start being part of the solution. Could Russia end this tomorrow, in your view?
Not tomorrow, no. Even if they withdraw all of the special units which are reportedly in the east of the country, some of the passions are running so high that I think hundreds of people who got arms in their hands and who are sort of intoxicated with the power they think they seized would not stop tomorrow. There will be armed gangs or armed groups, depending on how you look at them, in those localities for quite some time. And I cannot say that they are ready to lay down their arms, because from my impression, and I've been to those regions recently, some of the people there sincerely believe that they are fighting for the protection of their lives and of their families from what they think are and from what they think is an illegal government in Kyiv.
Would you say that before this is all over, there will be more territory like Crimea that will end up on the Russian side of the Ukrainian border, being acquired as a part of Russian territory before this is all over?
I shudder to think about this possibility, but I cannot rule this out.
Do you think the government in Kyiv is going to survive?
It is going to survive for quite a bit, even if the regions in the east and probably in the south go over to Russia or are occupied by Russia. It is going to survive because at the moment I think there's a very little opportunity to replace people at the helm of Ukraine with someone else. Mr. Yanukovych will be unacceptable for most of the people, not only in the center or in the west of the country, but also in the east of the country and south. And there is no new leader from among the current politicians who would be even willing to replace Mr. Yatsenyuk and his ministers, because the task that they are facing is very, very difficult at the moment.
Finally, Andriy, have you had a chance to determine what the uniformed military believes about all of this? Have you talked to any of the soldiers, the tank commanders? Are they enthusiastic about this military intervention?
Well, again, some of them say that as soon as they get a clear-cut order from the commander-in-chief or from the Ministry of Defense, they are ready to act. And there's a rather widespread dissatisfaction within the professional military that they were not sent to fight the invaders even earlier. And most of them think that the guilty part in the East are invaders, not the Ukrainian citizens who are instigated to take part in the protests. And, of course, some of the people in the East to whom I talked asked me, listen, how can I shoot at my Russian brothers? My theoretical answer to this is, and what would you do if your Russian brother starts to shoot at you? This makes them think.
Andriy Kulikov is on the ground in Zaporizhia, a city in southern Ukraine. Andriy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.